Okay, this is the last thing we're going to talk in regarding to Bishul. There is one other aspect of Bishul, and that is Hatmana, the act of insulating on Shabbos. But there is what to say about it, but most people are pretty good about Hatmana, and it doesn't come up that particularly often in most cases, so perhaps this will be the last related to Bishul. So what we want to talk about this evening is the returning of food Shabbos Day. How do you get hot food Shabbos Day? That's what we want to talk about. What's the best way to keep warm food for Shabbos Day? The Mishnah in Shabbos Daf Lamed Vav says it's usher to put a dish on a stove that is on, that has fire on the stove. And the Gemara discusses, is this talking about putting the dish back on Shabbos itself, or is it perhaps the intent to even leaving it on the stove before Shabbos, all the more so putting it on Shabbos? This is discussion exactly what the Mishnah is referring to. All Rishonim agree at the end of the day that to return a dish to the stove on Shabbos itself, as long as it's not being gar v'katum, just to remind ourselves of the expression, as long as you have not covered the flame, made some sort of marker to not adjust the setting, is aser, right? You can't take a chicken out of the oven, out of the fridge on Shabbos, and plop it down on a stove. You can't do that. Has to be garf of a katan. Now, what is the issue here? What are we concerned about? Well, this is what we call chazara, the act of returning. This is not shahiyah, maintaining something going to Shabbos Friday night. This is returning something to the fire. What are we concerned about? So this is a machlokas we've shown him. The Rashba in Shabbos says the reason for the isra of chazara returning is mechsei kemevashel. It will appear as if you're cooking. Somebody walks into your house, 11:30 Shabbos morning, they see a chicken on the fire. They're going to think, what's going on over there? You're making fresh chicken for lunch? Mm-hmm. Seems a bit weird. It's going to be mechsei kemevashel. It's going to look like cooking. Rabbeinu Tam, in the Sefer HaYasha, the Sefer HaYasha is a collection of halachic statements from Rabbeinu Tam. So he uses the Isser's Shemi Echatze B'Gachalim. Like we discussed last time, the practice is going to come, change the fire. You're going to change the stove if you keep food on the fire, having nothing to do with the way it's going to look. So, how do we pass on this? Well, it has an outcome regarding how machan we're going to be. But the Prima Gadim says the Isra Chazar is based on Mechsei Kemevashel. We don't allow you to put food from the fridge onto the stove because it's going to look like cooking. And this is what the Mishnah Berurah says. But in another place, the Mishnah Berurah says, no, it's an issue of Shem Yechatz B'Gachal. Maybe you're going to come to change the stove. So, what do we do? So, perhaps you have recall from school or some previous Hilchos Bishul class that there are five things you must have if you want to return something that was already on the fire when it was on Shabbos. And they are. Has to be Mevushal Kol Tzorcho, Garfa Katam, Shlona San Lagamre, O Dobi Yado, and Daito Lachso. So we're going to go through all five of those things. The first three, you must have. There's nothing to discuss unless the first three are present. And then we'll talk about the last two. The first thing is Garfa Katam. There's no way you can take anything out of the fridge on Shabbos and put it directly into an open flame. It has to be garva katsu. There has to be some sort of hecker, some sort of mark over the flame, a blech, something like that. And when returning the dish, you have to have this condition first. The second thing is, it has to be mevushal kol tzorcho. It has to be completely cooked food. You cannot take out something that is not completely done. You can't take out a kugel that's just parboiled or whatever it may be. The whole thing has got to be done, ready to serve as it is, and that is mevushal kol tzorcho, because that's an issur d'oraisa. You can't be cooking food on Shabbos, and that is number two. The third condition needed is shelo nitztanin legamre. If you are dealing with any liquid, so then the liquid cannot be cold, can't be room temperature. So that's why if you have a chicken with a lot of sauce in it and it was in the fridge, you can't take it and plop it down directly on the blech, because you're going to have liquid right there that's cold. It's not in the garment. It's completely cooled down. So you got to be careful about that as well.
But you did say in a previous year that you can have a little bit on it, right?
It's a little bit of residual juice is fine. Correct, 100%. So those are the first few things you got to have. There's no discussion without those few things. We'll tie this back into a challenge in a moment after we see everything together, because everybody's always concerned about the challenge. But we'll tie that back in a moment. So what's going on over here? So Rashi explains that Chazal do not allow one to put a dish on the stove, even if it's Karva Katam initially, and one is only allowed to continue Shehiya from before Shabbos. The whole Hetzer of keeping, of returning someone to the fire needs to show a continuation of the previous cooking process. That it shouldn't be a Nesina Chadasha, a new placement. So, for example, let's talk about a shalt. You pull the shalt off the fire, and you serve what you pull it off the fire, and you want to have more shalt later. You know, somebody's coming over, they're coming late to lunch, you want to have some shalt in the afternoon, or it's a Friday night shalt, you want to take the shalt off the fire Friday night, you want to try something, you want to put it back. So, your job now is to show that everything you're doing is simply a continuation of that shalant having already been on the fire. So there's two things we're going to do, says the Gemara, to show that it's not a new placement. And it's not going to be mechsei kamavashal. It's not going to look like I'm putting something fresh on. So the Gemara mentions two requirements to resume any act. And that has to be odo biyado. The first thing is, it has to be still holding onto the pot and not set it on the ground. That's the first thing. So you'll see, someone will take the challenge off, and they'll have their hand on the pot the whole time while they're taking out of the crock pot. Maybe they'll put it in like a nicer dish, and if they want to put it back on the fire, or on the heating element, they'll have their hand on the thing. That shows that this is simply a continuation of the whole process from the beginning. That's one. The second of the things here, but really the fifth overall, is daito lachzor. You have to have in mind in your das that you're going to want to put it back. So that means is, you take it off, thinking, nobody's coming asking it, and then all of a sudden, you know, someone walks in and says, hey, we're coming in for lunch, you know, we're dropping in, you know, I hope you have extra challenge. Like, I don't really have it. I wasn't really thinking of having you guys over. So you have to have daito lachzor. You have to have intention that you want to put it back on the flame. So the Gemara has a machlokas. Do you require both odo biyado, it's in your hands, not letting go, and the daito lachzor, you want to keep it this whole time? Do you require both of them, or is one enough? That's a machlokas in the Gemara. In addition, the Gemara discusses in-between situations. What if I'm not going to put it on the floor? They didn't have so many countertops back then. I'm not going to put it on the floor. I'm going to put it on a bed. I'm going to hang it on a hook. It's not going to be on the floor. Is that considered still a sign that it's a continuation? I haven't had a hesach hadas, a broken intention in what I plan to do with this. So the Gemara goes back and forth. The Gemara is not clear. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Shabbos in Perek Gimel, and the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Reish Gimel, that one condition alone is enough. And that is that you don't leave it on the ground. You have it odo b'yado. As long as you keep it in your hand, you're good. And the Ramah is machmer based on the gonim and the riff and the tour. And he requires two conditions. And this is, for Ashkenazim, what we do. Odo b'yado, you have to hold on to the chalent pot the whole time. And daito lach. So you have intention when you take it off that you want to put it back on the heating element. Now, there's those intermediate situations where you want to put it on the bed or hang it on a stick, whatever it was. So the Shulchan Aruch says you can be lenient. On the other hand, the Ramah says, again, you have to be machmer, and this is what we do. You must always hold the challenge in your hand at all times if you have any intention at all of putting it back on the heating element. And that's the halacha at the end of the day. Yeah?
I was supposed to ask a question. So, like, what if you take the challenge and you're holding on to it, and you're scooping it out, or whatever, and by mistake, like, for a second, your hand lets go. Like, is that now you can't put it back?
Good. So the Chavetz... Good. Segue. So the Chavetz Chaim writes in the Bir Halacha, he talks about the different views, and from his words, we can come out with the following conclusion, l'maisa. Lichad chila, you need two conditions. You have to hold on to the pot, and you have to have daita lach, so you have to have in mind to return it. In a case of need, odo b'yado is sufficient, even without intent. There's a tzorach. I wasn't thinking about it. I wasn't paying attention. The Shulchan Aruch says, odo b'yado is enough. The Bir Halacha says you can rely even if you don't have intent to return it. Similarly, you can be lenient in a tzorech if you put it down, if one is daito lachzor, and you put it down and let go, put it on the countertop. So if that is, it's a tzorech, you know, you're sitting there, the guests are there, you let go of the pot for a second. You obviously had in mind you were going to put it back. So in such a case, you can rely b'di'evan in such a case. As long as you have the first three, the musts, the Garuf HaKatzim, and Lo Nitzan Legamrei, and the Mevashel Kol Tzoracho, as long as you have those musts, and you have one of the other, so then you're good b'diavad at the end of the day. The Chazon Ish is super lean. The Chazon Ish writes in Siman Lamed Zayin that you can be lean if one puts it on the bench, even without Daito Lachzor. That if you really need it, you could just have the first three, and you wouldn't even need in any of the other two in a case of need.
What's with the floor? I know no one who puts it on the floor.
Because we, Baruch Hashem, we have countertops.
No, I'm saying, so does the counter mean the floor now?
So the counter doesn't have, we can rely on the fact that maybe the counter is not as severe as the floor. We'll use that as a leniency if need be.
It's also, I don't know about anybody else, but the chalom front is very heavy. You have to put it down. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, for sure. 100%.
You
know, so, for sure.
You can't hold
it where to put it. They took it literally there. There was either a table or whatever. They didn't have countertops or whatever. They had a sink. Had an oven where they put it.
Yeah. Marble didn't make its way to Bali.
And also probably...
to Europe.
They probably had a stone floor, so it would cold. It would cool it down maybe or something. Yeah. And now you're putting it back on.
So Lamaisa, when it comes to the Chalom pot case, when we take a pot which has no issue of Bishol off of a covered fire and later return it, so if the pot is, it's good to hold on to it in one's hand and to remove the food from it and then return it to the fire. And that would be the halach at the end of the day. And according to most poskim, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi Salvejik, Rav Shechzer as well, it's asur zu chazar into an oven since it is mechsek mevasha. There's no such thing as chazar into an oven. You cannot take the food out and then put it back into the oven at the end of the day. Okay, fine. Now this is only half of what you're thinking about. What about the kugel? I put the kugel in the fridge Friday night, and I want it to be warm Shabbos day. So clearly I was not holding on to the kugel while Shabbos Friday night. That would have been a very uncomfortable sleep. So where does that leave me at the end of the day? I want to do chazara. I want to return food that was on the stove Friday night, that was hot Friday night. I want it to be warm. So what am I supposed to do now? That we're moving on to a different parsha. This is what we call Nesina Chadasha. I want to take something that we're not in the chazar issue really anymore, because there's no way you could have been od v'yod od daita lachzor at that point. I put it in the fridge and I closed the door. I went to sleep. So how am I going to get a warm kugel the next morning? What are we going to do? So the Rama writes in Rishon Gimel that if a dish was on the fire on Shabbos and then taken off and placed on the counter, it cannot be returned to the fire. Then all the more so, a dish that was not on the fire at the beginning of Shabbos can't be put on the fire on Shabbos, even if the heat source is Garuf HaKatzim. So where does that leave us? So how can we heat up food Shabbos day? So the answer is that if the food is Mevushal Kol Tzarcho, as long as the food is 100% cooked, you can warm it up. If it's not, Mechsek Mevashal. If you can find me a way that it doesn't look like cooking at all, in any form, to heat that item up, then we're good. So where does that leave us? What does the halacha say? So one possibility is putting it next to the fire. This is one option. You don't put it on fire, put it next to the fire. You have the fire on the stove. You put it on the counter next to the fire. It gets some of the residual heat. And this is the simple meaning of the Gemara in Shabbos, which allows samach, heating by the fire. And the Rush explains that since the food is placed at a distance from the flame, that's significant. There's no issue, shamiyachata. Nobody's going to go and touch the flame. And on the other hand, the Rashba says it's not derech bishul. And this is what the Shulchan Aruch writes at the end of Siman Shin Yud Ches, that you can allow putting cooked food near the wall of the stove. That's one example. Now, it's not so practical for many people. It's not going to heat up if you have a lot of food for lunch, a lot of company. It's not going to heat up a lot of food. You're not going to have your stove on and have, like, you know, all around the countertop, like, all your food. It's not actually even going to do a good job. So, Samach Le'esh is usable. You could do such a thing. If you had four burners, one of them was on, you could put the food on the empty burner next to the burner that was on, and it would heat up to the best of your ability. That's one way to do it.
Covered?
What?
Is the burner covered?
The burner should probably be covered. It doesn't have to be covered. I wouldn't necessarily, just as a policy, leave an open
fire my stove.
But technically, yeah. Correct. It wouldn't have to be covered. That's one. Let's talk now about the more practical case, and that's what we call kedera al gabe kedera. A kedera means a pot. We might have to use some visuals to explain what we're going to be doing in a second, so we'll just put these over here. Thank you for the cups. So, Kedera Agabe Kedera. The Beis Yosef cites the Rashba. In the Gemara and Shabbos Daf Mem, who allows pudding, what the Shulchan Aruch always referred to as the infanda, some sort of thing that's wrapped in a dough, some sort of item that, some sort of meat item, to heat on top of a pot of cholent on Shabbos because it's not derech bishul. From here, it comes out that one is allowed to warm on Shabbos using a pot on top of a pot. A kedera al gabe kedera. So this is the cholent pot. This is the, we'll just use a few more, here we go. This is the cholent pot. This is the cholent, it's okay? All right. Okay, this is the cholent in the pot. And then I take my pot of food and I put it on top of the cholent pot and we're good. Kedera gabe kedera. Because this is not Mexican mamasha. Because in the United States of America, nobody cooks by putting a pot of food on top of another pot of food. So you'll put a kugel on top of the cholent pot. It'll heat up the kugel. It'll...
It's called the double boiler.
So the, you'll put it on top of the cholent pot with the cover on top. And you're good to go, and that's one way to heat up. That's one way to heat up food. On the other hand, the Beis Yosef cites the view of the Hagos Mordechai, who doesn't seem to allow warming up food on a Kedera al Gabe Kedera. So there's a stira of the Beis Yosef. One time he seems to say that it's fine, in the name of the Rashba, and then he goes and quotes the Hagos Mordechai and says it's not fine. So what are we supposed to do? So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch in Rishon Gimel cites the Hagos Mordechai, who says it's Aser. And then literally two paragraphs later, he cites the Rashi who says it's mutter. So what's going on over here? So comes the Magen Avraham. And the Magen Avraham says, resolves the following way. We're going to have two answers to this here in the Beis Yosef. The first is the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says, you have to distinguish between liquid and solids, he says. He says, there's no issur to put foods on top of a pot on Shabbos. And therefore you can put a solid on top of a pot. So you can take a chicken, you can take a cocoa, put it on top of the cholent pot, and you're good to go. However, when it comes to a liquid, so the Shulchan Aruch says that even if it's hot, there's no problem of bishul, and there's no, even if there's technically no problem of bishul, you can't put it on a pot on top of a pot, kedera gabe kedera, because there's a gzera that you might put something that is cold. We're very, very careful about not putting liquids, right, heating up liquids. There's yesh bishul achar bishul, heating up even a liquid that was heated before. But the Magen Avraham himself argues on the Chumrah of the Shulchan Aruch, and he says that you could even put a fluid, liquid item on top of a pot, on top of a pot if it's somewhat warm. So you could take a plate full of chicken and sauce up to the top, says the Magen Avraham, and put it on top of that cholent pot without any question, perfectly fine. And that's where the Magen Avraham comes out. That's one explanation. The differentiation between solids and liquids, and even at the end of the day, the Magen Avraham says you don't really have to be so machmer, so you can put liquids on top of that cholent pot. Comes the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim writes in Rishon Gimel, he says there's a difference between the types of pots. He says a pot that is a kedera malaya, a pot that is full of food, and there's a pot that's a kedera rekana, there's a pot that is empty of food. He says, lichat chila, one's allowed to put a dish on top of a full pot, but it is usher, he says, to put it on top of a empty pot. Because that doesn't do anything. That doesn't do anything if an empty pot. That doesn't distinguish enough in what you're doing. So the Chafetz Chaim in the Bir Halacha cites the Prima Gadda, and he understands that an empty pot has no significance. The Chafetz Chaim explains, an empty pot is batel. It's as if it's not there. It's just there to serve the stove. It's not there to serve this. It's an empty pot. It's just an extension of the stove. So putting the kugel on top of an overturned, pan that's empty is a waste of time, says the Chafetz Chaim, because, well, what is this? This is just more stove, says the Chafetz Chaim. It's not a new pot. It's just more stove. Naturally, the pot is subordinate to the stove and considered a part of it, and the dish that's put on it is really considering put it on the stove itself. On the other hand, he says, a full pot, it doesn't serve the stove. This is a pot of cholent. This is its own entity. This is chashuv already by itself. And it's not simply there for the stove. And therefore, if I put the dish on top of this, it's not considered being placed on the stove. So how do we come out? According to the Magen Avraham, if you want to heat up cooked food on Shabbos, you can put an empty pot on the fire, right? You can take an overturned pot, put put it like this, and then put a dish on it. And according to the Prima Gadim, this is not okay. The Prima Gadim says it has to be full at the end of the day. So these are the two opinions. How to heat take a food out of the fridge. One is take an overturned pie, take an overturned tin, take out the kugel and the shalant, put it on the overturned tin according to the Magen Avraham, and you're good to go. It's perfectly fine. According to the Prima Gadim, no, not sufficient. There has to be food in any pot you're going to be putting on top of the you have the blech on the bottom, then you have a pan full of food, and then you put something on top of that as well. Those are the two approaches. Yeah.
Does it have to be like something you're going to eat?
No, doesn't have to be something you're going to eat. So
water, it's just boil.
So I'll tell you what we do in my house. In my house, my wife.
What?
Okay. Okay. So correct. A regular piece of a regular sheet. Stam, as it is not good. Because that's still mechsei kemavasho.
Even if it's, you don't put it on the fire. In other words, you have one flame in the corner.
Yeah.
And you put the food around it. You don't put anything on the spot.
That's
what it used
to be. On the spot. Meaning you put the food where?
Well, right.
This is on the other side. You have a tin on top.
Is the blech hot enough that it can cook something?
No, you can't cook something on it.
Is it could it reach 120? Probably.
But you're not putting it on the flame though. You're putting
it
around.
It's not going to get that hot.
You're not putting something directly.
The blech itself, the metal gets hot.
But it doesn't get that hot.
No, you can't put your hand on it. I don't think you can put your hand on it, but you certainly can't cook something from it. As a matter of fact, even if you put something on, it gets warm, but it doesn't get hot.
Hot, only needs to be 120 in halacha. Well, it just needs to be 120.
And you can put
we would say there are two things. What I would always recommend is that at least to have use an overturned pan. You take a cookie sheet, take a deep cookie sheet, take a pan, like a metal pan, you turn it over, and you put the food on that, and then you're good according to Magen Avraham.
What?
Magen Avraham is certainly what's relying. No,
so
when you get
we'll get
to hot plates one step at a time. We'll go one step at a time. So that according to Magen Avraham, it's perfectly fine to have an overturned pan, and that's fine. If one wants to be extra careful for the Prima Gadim, this is personally what we do. What we do in my home is that we take a tin, a disposable tin. We fill it with water before Shabbos. We put crimp the cover that comes with the disposable tin around it, and we use that, and we put it on before Shabbos. And whatever we want, we put on top of that. So I have a pan full of food. Technically, I have a pan full of water. And that acts as a
stove.
This is on the blech on top of the
blech,
then the pan with the water with the cover, and then whatever we want, we just take and put directly on and off the whole time.
Because all your flames are on, or because one flame is on?
One flame is on.
How sturdy is that?
It's pretty sturdy.
And it warms up.
No, I wouldn't dance on it, but yeah, we dance up.
You put a blech on the whole thing.
Yeah.
And you have a food all
the water doesn't boil out.
No, but that's why we crimp the cover around it. They can't boil out.
But it still has to boil. It boils out.
How big is this pan?
Yeah.
As long as we want to make it.
If it's a small Shabbos, so then it's small. If it's a big Shabbos, then it's
small. So is it a flame that's on the
board? Well, generally the chalent sits... Generally the chalent sits on the flame. So it's like right next to... It's right next to the chalent.
Because it would...
It's right next to the chalent.
The
issue with the Kedera blech, they used to have this, they still sell it?
I have it.
So the issue with the Kedera blech is it was a thin sheet of metal.
Oh,
with
wow.
And you would fill with water before Shabbos.
But you know what? I could put in a whole tea kettle of water in there.
Never heard of
it's
that.
It's huge.
The issue is that it doesn't answer according to the issue of the Bir Halacha, because that's batel. That's subservient to the flame, because by simply filling, the unblech is okay.
And Rav Shechter sees it too.
So I'm not the I know that Rav Shechter is machmer for to have a kedera malaya. The issue that people have with the kedera blach is that it's unclear to say that it's not mechsek mevasha because it looks like a regular.
You can't cook anything on that. Trust me, you can't.
Why is that not possible?
You can't cook anything on that.
Depending on why shouldn't you cook anything on it? Does it reach 120?
I don't know. I'm not a thermometer, but I just.
Same way.
I don't think it looks like you're cooking anything on. No. Like this sheet pan.
Maybe they've redesigned in the last few years. I'm not sure. But so those are ways to get around. Let's talk about a hot plate now. Okay? So those are the two things for Shabbos. Mm-hmm. On the most basic level, an overturned plan from the Magen Avraham. If one wants to be more machmer, then one can have a filled pan. What about placing the food on the refrigerator on a hot plate? So, Rav Avraham Sefer Nechavadas in Chelek Beit allows putting a dish directly on a hot plate or a blech on Shabbos. But he's a Das Yachid. He's a lone opinion. Everybody else really, really doesn't agree with Rav Avraham Sefer. First of all, he holds strongly of the Magen Avraham. But we saw that the Bir Halacha Chavetz Chaim was leaning more towards the Prima Gadim. And according to this, it would be difficult to put it directly on a hot plate. However, there are those who allow it for a different reason. Since the hot plate is uniquely designed for Shabbos, who uses a hot plate during the week? A hot plate is, for most Jews, is a Shabbos utensil. And therefore, it's not Mechsek and Mevasher, because who's going to walk into your house and say, oh, the hot plate's on, you just made fresh eggs. Nobody's going to think that. When else do you have the hot plate out? You have the hot plate out for Shabbos. Nobody uses the hot plate during the week.
So
Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach argues with that. And he says, after all, it's not customary to cook on a stove that's gar v'katzim, but still we don't put a dish on a stove that's gar v'katzim. Meaning, he takes your point and he flips around. Yes, dahainu, we don't, even though we use a blech and we don't cook on it, still we don't use a direct blech. We don't allow direct blech on Shabbos for garvat katam. So what do you do? So there are those who observe a chumrah by putting on the hot plate a pot with water before Shabbos, then putting the pot on top of the food, or on top of another pot that's put on the hot plate on Friday at the end of the day. So comes Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in the Shmir Shabbos, and he says that you can't heat food on the inverted pot on a fire. Rav Shlomo Zalman is machmir of the Prima Gadim. You shouldn't simply take the overturned pan and put food on a direct fire. And similarly, you shouldn't heat food directly on a hot plate. But he does like to do is combine both. He says if you take the hot plate plus the overturned pan together, then he says that's fine. That's certainly not Mechsek Mevashel. And this is the opinion of Rav Ozner as well. And essentially, Rav Shlomo Zalman is arguing, certainly for Ashkenazim, is to take the hot plate, then just take a cookie sheet, flip it over on that, and then use that at the end of the day, and that gets you the best of both worlds, because it's not a hot plate, and it's not simply, we'll be lenient for the overturned pan, according to everybody, that by the hot plate together, and that is the example according to him. You can also just use the top of an urn or a hot pot at the end of the day. So we see three lechatchila ways when it comes to heating food out of the fridge on Shabbos. To simply put it on top of the urn or the hot pot. Two, have an overturned pan on the hot plate. Or to have on a stove, either to rely on the Magen Avraham, if one's been doing that, to have an overturned pan on the blech. But lechatchila to have food in a pan and then whatever eating on top of that food, on top of that food-contained pan, on top of the blech at the end of the day. Rav Moshe, in the case this is shaykh to anybody still, but Rav Moshe writes in the Gros Moshe that you are allowed to put cooked food on top of a radiator as well. That would also be fine. That would also not be necessarily kvavashel. But I don't know how many people still have freestanding radiators in the middle of their kitchen. So I don't know how relevant that would be nowadays. But nobody here has a radiator that stands by itself anymore? No, I'm saying like...
By our front door.
Yeah, so,
our old building.
Yeah,
is
so.
Is that a hot plate though that's non-adjustable versus an adjustable?
Well, if it is adjustable, so then you can cover the knobs. Right?
You just cover the knobs, fine.
That would be okay at the end of the day.
Do you think that your method would also work on a hot plate? Like if you put a pan with water...
There's no reason to do that, though. There's no reason to do that.
Well, rather than leaving the stove on.
Oh.
But just put the just no. use a hot plate and put the pan.
Just use a hot plate with an overturned pan. No reason to make yourself crazy with the water. The only place to be crazy is if it's on the stove. To fill it with water and then to
You mean
to
if it's over the direct flame? Is that what you mean? I mean, is it over?
No, anywhere.
No, if the blend, if you're just talking about the portion that's over, even if you have a blend, the portion that's over the flame, or you have to put the
If the blech has the potential, even in the area, not over the fire, if that place on the blech has the potential to raise food to 120 degrees, so then it's no different than over the flame.
No, that I understand. So we'll have to get it from mom. I don't even think it does, though. I don't know. I mean, what's 120 to cook it? I mean,
I don't know. You gotta test
it. I don't know. I never think say that. I could never figure out what
it's saying. So that would be the end of the day. We'll just end with this point. The Chafetz Chaim writes in his Hakdama to the third volume of the Mishnah Berurah. He says, "V'chein b'malachas dash v'lisha u'malabein v'shar avos malachos mi shelo lama yuchal b'nakel hichashalben." If you don't learn the halachos, you can easily make a mistake. Shenimtsa b'chol echad kama pratei halachos shemaget yisur d'oraisa, because so many of the halachos involve yisur d'oraisa. Upaprat beinyan bishal, especially when it comes to bishal, v'shehia v'hatmana, who hilchas harabasi ma'od. There are a lot of halachos. We did a lot of summarizing in the five times that we met. There's a lot. Obviously, we broke it down a lot. Bahar bechaluk edinim hanogei lemaisa, and therefore it's good to review, good to get back into it again, and to hear different things, and to remind ourselves, and to again, like we said at the very, very beginning, Shabbos is supposed to be, you know, menucha, relaxing, and these things are for the purpose of in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that should not be overly stressful. But at the same time, we want to do it the right way. We want to make sure that we're doing the best we can regarding the Dinei D'Oraisa and the Dinei D'Rabbanan, and everything should be good.